Kent Online News.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.
Nicola Everett.
It's Tuesday, the 16th of April, coming up. Kent expert hopes Notre Dame can be rebuilt after devastating fire.
The collapse of the spire was one of the most horrifying things I've ever seen as a medievalist.
Primary school places for Kent's four-year-olds confirmed.
Overall, we have been able to fulfil preferences for the overwhelming majority of parents.
The search goes on. Still no news on where a lorry park could be built.
If we want, you know, our supermarket shelves to be stacked with all the goods, if we want petrol in our petrol stations, this all comes on the road, so it's vitally important that we have those facilities there.
Kent Online News.
Well, our top story today is reaction to the devastating fire at the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. Flames tore through the 12th century building last night, burning through the spire and roof. It's thought the blaze could have been started accidentally by building work taking place there. The French president has announced an international fundraising campaign to rebuild the iconic landmark, with two of France's richest families pledging €300 million. Dr. Emily Gerry is a senior lecturer in medieval European history at the University of Kent.
We're amazed and delighted to see that a lot more has survived than we expected late last night. The latest I've heard is that all three rose windows remain intact, which is very good news, but the collapse of the spire was one of the most horrifying things I've ever seen as a medievalist. To lose a city's cathedral, Notre Dame de Paris has a civic identity, and it has survived the Hundred Years' War. It survived, St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre, the Commune, the First World War, the Second World War, and for it to almost collapse due to an accident in 2019, I think will shock people who care about culture the world over. But it has survived in some sense, and hopefully this gets us to reflect a lot more on health and safety and to treasure the things we do have and to not take them for granted. I think it'll be a mammoth task to rebuild it. These things take a long time. This is a 12th century cathedral that took about four decades to take its form. And when it was vaulted and the facade was completed in 1220, it underwent another transformation for another 20 years. So however, these things are built to last, and I think I've heard that it will be rebuilt in the Gothic style with the same techniques, and hopefully this won't happen again. Take, for example, at Canterbury Cathedral in 1174, after that fire, the monks at Canterbury bring in French Gothic builders to create what is now our cathedral in Canterbury to avoid fires in the future. And the stone vault keeps the building from collapse. When that's wooden, it falls down and everything goes ablaze. But when it's stone, it's strong. And seeing the photographs this morning of Notre Dame de Paris with only one vault pierced and that whole spire came down is just incredible. And that's how well built the Gothic vault system is. They're designed to last.
Kent Online reports.
Plans for a new railway station in Kent have taken another step forward after the project was given £4 million of government money. Thanet Parkway near Cliff's End is going to cost almost £30 million to build. We'll have two platforms and 300 car parking spaces. It's hoped it could be ready in 3 or 4 years' time. Meantime, there are calls for more trains in Kent to help meet demand. A senior Medway councillor says extra rolling stock is needed as carriages are often full before they even arrive in the towns en route to London. The leader of the county council has raised similar concerns, saying high-speed trains are overcrowded before arriving at Ashford International and Ebbsfleet. Now, if you've got a child starting primary school in Kent in September, chances are it's been a bit of an anxious day as you wait to find out what school they'll be going to. Confirmation emails have been sent out to thousands of mums and dads. This year, 97% of four-year-olds have got into one of their three choices, with almost 9 in 10 getting their first preference. Roger Goff is the man in charge of education in the county. He's been chatting to Lucy.
The size of the cohort, if you like, the number of children coming into our schools this year is running at about the same level that it has over the last few years. So it's just a little bit below 17,300. If you go back 10 years, it was almost 3,000 less. That's Kent children applying for our schools. There are a few children from outside the county as well who apply. But it's up about almost 3,000 over that 10-year period. And it peaked in 2016 at around 18,000 and is now down just a little bit from that, but running at a fairly steady level. So what we've seen is that having expanded lots of primary schools in recent years, or having seen also in some cases new schools being built, then overall we've been able to fulfil preferences for families.
Is it a relief for you then that those numbers aren't continuing to go up every year, that they're kind of levelled out a little bit?
Clearly it reduces one pressure, because every time that the numbers go up, you clearly need to be able to ensure that there are school places available and that they're in the right place. And that's always a challenge, and it's one which we've, working with schools, sought to respond to very thoroughly over the last 7 or 8 years, and so far very successfully. Now, of course, it never quite works out for everyone. Regrettably, we would love it if we had no cases of what are called allocations, when a child is offered a place at a school that wasn't on their preference list at all. This year, there's just under 450 allocations, which is a little bit over 2.5% of the total. Now, that's in relative terms actually still a pretty low number. But of course, we recognise for every one of those, that's a family going through a stressful time now, concerned and wanting to ensure that their child does get to a school that they want.
But like you said, for the vast majority of parents, it will be good news later today, won't it?
Absolutely. And as I say, we've seen overall very high levels of delivery of preference, of parents' preferences. So for many families, it will be extremely good news. And the fact that that's been achieved during a time when rolls overall are much, much higher than they were 5 to 10 years ago is a tremendous outcome. As I say, we recognise that for some families it is not such good news, but what I would emphasise to them is that this is the start of the process, it's not the end of the process. There is now a whole series of stages to go through. You have until the 13th of May to accept or not accept the offer. We would always recommend that you do accept an offer, because it doesn't preclude you going after other choices. It's not irrevocable. But if you step away from an offer, then it may be that it's then harder to find another place relatively close to home. So on the 13th of May, up until then, you've got the opportunity to accept or refuse the offer and to return waiting list forms. And about a week after that, on the 21st of May, is the deadline for appeals. And then in June, on the 12th of June, we have what's called reallocation, when some people have not taken up school places. So then children who are on the waiting list get offered, in some cases those who are at the top of the waiting list may be offered a place, and everyone moves around a little bit. So that's the process. A combination of, as I say, the waiting lists and appeals means that there is still scope for families to hopefully secure something that's closer to what they wanted, if that's not been the case for them so far.
I imagine it'll be a bit of a nervous day for a lot of parents, because it is very important that their child gets into a school that's not only maybe close to them, but one that they've looked around and liked, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think this is one of those moments in your life when your child is growing up, and this is when your child's going into reception class, that's a major milestone. And you do want to ensure that they get into a school that you are comfortable with and you believe they'll be happy in. And as I say, in most cases, that is indeed what happens. And we would say to other families, if you've not got one of your choices, firstly, do please take a look at the school that has been offered to you. You may find that, in fact, it works out well for you. But also there are, as I say, other options to pursue as well.
Kent Online News.
A young Maidstone woman's been taken to hospital with facial injuries after being attacked by a stranger in Maidstone. The victim was walking along Lower Stone Street in the early hours of this morning when she was grabbed by a man and punched in the face. She managed to fight him off and he ran along Park Way. Play equipment, especially designed for disabled children, has been vandalised just days after being installed at a park in Swanley. A group of kids were seen battering the £30,000 wheelchair-friendly swing at the site on New Barn Road with sticks and a metal spike. It comes after Wendy houses and tables in the great outdoors play area were pushed over. 2 years after they were forced to scrap plans for a lorry park near Hythe, it's emerged today the government still hasn't come up with an alternative site. Now, the idea of using land at Stamford for up to 3,000 HGVs if there are problems crossing the channel was abandoned in 2017 after campaigners threatened legal action. Now, despite a consultation, the Department for Transport still hasn't identified sites that could work in future instead of parking lorries on the M20. Ish has been chatting to Heidi Skinner from the Freight Transport Association.
At this stage, should the government have identified and perhaps even prepared a lorry park as an alternative to Operation Brock at EFL?
Well, we've been campaigning for a long time for a better quality and quantity of lorry parks, driver facilities, because it's vitally important that we have that for drivers who are going across to the continent now, but also in the future. So for us, it's not necessarily just one specific site. It's about making sure that we have the quantity of facilities in the southeast to ensure that drivers can park somewhere if need be, if we get to a situation where we have an Operation Brock or Stack situation again. We've been campaigning for a long time because we're virtually at a critical level of lorry parking, a lack of lorry parking in the southeast. So we have been calling for more facilities. And obviously, when we get to a situation where we have Operation Stack or Brock, that we need to have facilities somewhere that lorries can park up and that can use. And said that doesn't necessarily need to be one site, it could be a number of different sites across the county, but we do need more facilities.
Why do you think they haven't been able to identify? Is it simply there is a lack of where they can go?
Yeah, I mean, I think lorry parking is a contentious issue. Communities don't necessarily want lorry parks in their area. So we do have issues with planning, but obviously we see some very successful lorry parks across the county. It's just for us to work with local authorities and other planning authorities to ensure that they understand the real need to support drivers, to ensure that they have the rest breaks that they need. You know, we're all aware that freight travels in lorries, and to ensure that that can continue to flow, we need to ensure that the drivers have the facilities that they need and have the adequate rest breaks. So it is vitally important if we want, you know, our supermarket shelves to be stacked with all the goods, if we want petrol in our petrol stations, you know, this all comes on the road, so it's vitally important that we have those facilities there.
And finally today, it looks like we're in for a mini heatwave in Kent this Easter weekend. Forecasters say temperatures are going to warm up during the week and could reach 20 degrees Celsius on Sunday. That'll make the county hotter than Ibiza, where it's also going to be raining. For more news throughout the day, don't forget you can head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.